pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near, and we doubt your goodness, and we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And come through raindrops, what if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray,
and thank you so much, Sister Carrie.
Kara, that's a little nickname I've given her, and it slips every once in a while. But appreciate that. God has blessed her with a good singing voice, and she's willing to use it for His honor and for His glory. Now, if you are where you can, I would invite you to take your Bibles and be turning with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And again, if any of our regular folks might have been expecting me to address the flood again, because I had one more sermon to preach in that series, but I have been detoured again in my thinking, and so this morning I'll be doing something different again. There was a question that came to me, and the question was this: is God speaking through this pandemic? Is God speaking through this pandemic? And I think that the part of the reason why that question came was some remarks that I made related to the pandemic, and that is that a lot of people have on social media say that God didn't have anything to do with this at all. And of course, I made the remark that God, everything that comes our way, literally everything, is either ordered by God or permitted by God. And no matter what you might think about that, God knows all about this. He's always known about it. And God is all-powerful, almighty. God could have stopped it in its tracks, it not had any effect whatsoever on society, but He chose not to do that. If He didn't send it, He's permitted it and allowed it to happen. And so I think that question came as a result of that, because I got a lot of texts from people who listened to the message last Sunday morning, people that I know in Lexington and other places in the state who were not having church services either, and because of our acquaintance, they knew we would be on Facebook, and so they watched and they made a lot of comments related to that. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. And so the question would automatically come, then, what is God's purpose? Anything that God causes or God permits, there must be purpose. God is a God of purpose. God doesn't just do things with no reason for it. There is purpose in everything. The good and the bad, all things. And my favorite scripture in all the Bible is that all things work together for good for them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. I wear that scripture out. There's probably no scripture verse that I have quoted more beside a hospital bed or in a grieving family or whatever than that verse. And it is true. It is true. All things work together. Matter of fact, I got a text from one of our ladies that I thought was interesting last week, and it simply said this: what do you think? Do you think that God sometimes permits or causes bad things because His purpose is to intervene and fix it and make good come from it, from His honor and glory? And He does. He does do that. And so God is a God of purpose. And I have run across this view in Romans chapter 8. The Bible says that all the creation groaneth because of the fall, and everything is bad and things happen wrong, and God didn't have to have anything to do with it because all of our whole being is under a curse of the fall. And even at that, God speaks through everything if we have an ear to hear, if we have an ear to hear what God has to say. And so I want to address that this morning from this passage of Scripture. I'll read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. And here's what it says: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that is, in different times and different ways, to put it in our way of speaking, in time past has manners spake. Now notice that He spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets. And then it says in verse 2, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the part of that text that I want to call your attention to is this, that in times past, the Bible says that God spoke to people in one way, and in these last days that God speaks maybe a little different than he used to. As a matter of fact, I can say he does for sure, because he spoke to our fathers, according to the text, by the prophets. God communicated with his people by the prophets, by their speaking, by the priests, by the seers, by way of visions, by way of dreams, and even speaking audibly. And so a lot of those things, you say, well, don't God still do that? No, he doesn't do that, because when the scriptures were completed, guess what? I've known the Lord for many, many years, and there's never been anything that I wasn't able to find in this book. There isn't any question that if he wanted me to have the answer to, I haven't been able to find. I don't need to go somewhere to someone who speaks over and above what God has already said and what God has already communicated. And so he's saying in these last days he's spoken by his Son. And so that's a neat passage of Scripture. I think one of the greatest endeavors that anyone ever undertook, as the Holy Spirit leads one to do that, is to come to a knowledge of God as much as we're capable of doing. We know that nobody knows God perfectly and could know God perfectly. He is incomprehensible. And as I've said many times, if I could explain God fully, he would be beneath me. I can't do it. But I want to tell you that we can learn a lot about God. As a matter of fact, I remember one Father's Day here at our church. We had a bunch of the little booklet by Arthur W. Pink, The Attributes of God. Awesome little book. It's one that every child of God should read and study carefully. He includes so much scripture in that. And so by the knowledge of God, we have a knowledge of his will and his purpose like we would not have if we didn't know him, to know him. And so he wants us to know him. If we are his child, he wants us to know him. I think of the passage in the book of John in chapter 17. Of course, that is the great intercessory prayer that Jesus prayed. And I want to read verse 2 and verse 3 of that chapter, talking about knowing God. Listen to what he says. As thou hast given him, to, Jesus talking about himself. I'll back up and read the first verse. These words spake Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Folks, I want you to listen carefully to that. As thou hast given him, he's talking about himself, power over all flesh. Now, that didn't say some, but power over all flesh, to work his purpose in his plan, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, that's a verse a lot of people in this world need to read and study and think about, exactly what he said there. And verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So knowing God. So what's the benefits of knowing God? Knowing the attributes or the divine perfections of God as simply taught in the Word. By knowing him, I come to know my fallen condition and my need for a Savior. I understood that God must, because he is a holy God and he is a just God, that he must deal with our sin. And so we come to know God. You see, a lot of people go through this life and they think, well, I'm going to get a little religion. I'm going to just do as much good as I can and maybe I'll make it into heaven. I want to tell you something, friend. Until you know God and his attitude towards sin, you can't be right with him without knowing that and understanding it. And it's taught in this word. And so another result is that we come to understand Christ's redemption and his plan of redemption. And just put it quite simply, how God saves a sinner. You see, knowing God needs to come first. So knowing Him as the sovereign God is absolutely necessary. I want to tell everybody listening this morning, you cannot evaluate or assess anything that goes on in our world around us apart from knowing God. You would just be left out there without a lot of the answers that you ought to have. Now, right quickly, I want to address that question in about three headings. Number one, I want to share with you about the God who speaks. Now, remember what the question was. Is God speaking through this pandemic? I want to share with you the God who speaks. As our text says, He has always spoken, and He is speaking today. God is speaking. Of course, the second point that I'll use is, who is it that hears Him? Now, that is an interesting point. And then the third point is going to be, and I'm going to tell you this so you'll stay with the program, not just turn it off and go on about your business, but what is He saying? And I'm going to tell you what He said to me. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can tell you what He has said to me through this pandemic. But anyway, the God who speaks. Now, God speaks primarily through His Word as the Holy Spirit enlightens us to hear Him speaking through His Word. Hear Him speaking. There's a song more about Jesus. Hearing His voice on every line, making each faithful saying, mine. More about Jesus. You see, that song, that line has stuck in my mind for many, many years because the Holy Spirit must enlighten us to hear God through His Word. And something that's bothered me for many years, I've known a lot of people who claim to be a Christian and they never open this book. They have obviously no interest in what it says. And it could be because it's not an open book to them. It could be because it's closed. And so anyone who has been saved by His marvelous grace and loves the Lord wants to hear from Him, wants to know what He's got to say. And so the God who speaks, and it's primarily through His Word. A few weeks ago, Brother Wynn brought a message on Sunday night from Romans chapter 12, and talked about the fact that there were people that God gifts to communicate this scripture or this word. Teachers and pastors, preachers, he brought that as very good. He brought that out. And so not only is God speaking through His Word, but that He uses people to communicate that word, uses people to do that and gifts people to do that. And so it brings to mind that scripture that says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we hide that word in our heart, and the Holy Spirit working in the lives of God's children bring those scriptures to mind. And so we're out here in the world and we're confronted by this and that and the other, and we make decisions in our life, and every one of God's children need to be really careful to keep their priorities right. And so we decide, am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? And it's by the word hid in our heart that we can determine what is right and what is unpleasing to our God. So He speaks primarily through His Word and by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. I want to read a couple of verses in John chapter 14, talking about the Holy Spirit enlightening us. I want to read verse 17. Listen real carefully to what it says. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Isn't that a neat verse of Scripture? That's how we hear God speak through His Word. And then the 26th verse of that chapter says this, Jesus speaking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that wonderful? We can know that He can work in our lives. So the Holy Spirit and the Word and those who have been gifted to communicate that Word, God speaks that way. God speaks that way. But, you know, I thought about this too. Also, God speaks even to the world in general by the creation. This morning is a beautiful morning. Sun shining bright, warm and everything. And it's amazing. You get out and look at all that God has made and God has created. And didn't the Bible tell us that in Romans chapter 1? That nobody has an excuse, because we can hear from God maybe to a very limited sense, in a very limited sense through creation, but we know that He's real and we know that He's there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back and read those words. They're found in Romans chapter 1, and this is what it says. It says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness," that is to restrict it, "because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Listen to this. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So I would say this, that God speaks through His creation, the world that He's made. But then I want to come to this point. God speaks through difficulties, trials, troubles, suffering, heartaches, and despair in life too. God speaks to them through them. And so we've had this virus to come along, and it has become a pandemic. And if you are watching any news broadcast, I've just quit. I've just quit because all negative, making it worse, and scare tactics, and weaponizing it, and politicizing it, and I just am not watching. I can find out everything I need to know about it in about 10 minutes. And anyway, I just don't like to hear all the negative. I'm a positive person. I am, and I thank God that He's helped me to be that way. But this has come upon the world, and there's been a lot of suffering, and there's been deaths, and all of that is awful and bad. As a matter of fact, they're talking about in some places where this is the worst that they may not have enough respirators, because this virus affects people's breathing, and they're doing all kinds of things to try to get ready for if it's the worst that it could ever be. Worst it could ever be. And so there's a lot of suffering and things. This is something that's difficult. It's something that's a hardship. I will say this. I'm 70 years old. I was born right after the Depression. And I know there was hardships during that time, because I've heard my family members talk about it many over time. But I have never seen anything in my 70 years of life that's had a greater impact on our culture, greater impact on our world as this. And folks, I want to tell you something. It's a virus. We've had viruses before. We've had some far worse. Ebola, it was a virus. There was a virus, Spanish flu, I think it was called, that killed about 150 million people. We've had them, several of them. I could name them. SARS was one of them, and just different ones that has been. And you know something? There may be more. There may be others. And so I think that it's wise that we learn to listen in this. But in these heartaches and things, God speaks. I can give a personal testimony of that fact. And I've told this to our church before. Years ago, I didn't have my priorities right as a Christian, and I was always running into trouble. I would have trouble, just one thing right after another. And you know what? I'd have to get down on my knees, and I'd just have to say, "Oh God, please help me through this." And God would help me through it. The next thing I knew, I was having more trouble. And it dawned on me, however, God may have been speaking to me, that, you know, the only time I prayed was when I was in trouble. You think about that. And I said, Lord, forgive me for that. And I started praying when I wasn't in trouble. And there's all kinds of good things to pray about. You thank Him and praise Him for blessing your life. And I started, and you know what? The troubles went away. Sometimes God needs to get our attention. And folks, let me tell you something. There's been awesome, terrible judgments that have come in this world. I had been preaching on the flood. You think about that. That judgment where God destroyed everything that drew a breath except Noah and his family. You think God spoke through that? Don't you think there's a message to the world about that? What about Sodom and Gomorrah? What about God raining fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and the communities around about there and destroying those people? Don't you think that there was a message in that? Don't you think that even over the many years as preachers have took up those texts and preached from them, that God didn't speak through it? Judgment that has come from God has a message in it. God says, there's things I'm not going to tolerate, and judgment is going to come as a result of it. And we believe the scripture that says we reap what we sow. And so, yes, God does speak, and He is speaking through the pandemic. I'm telling you that He is. And you know, to illustrate this, if you think that God doesn't send hardships and trials and troubles and difficulties and disappointments, every Christian should know what the Bible says about chastisement. Because the Bible says that God will discipline every one that He receiveth, His children, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Difficulties He will send in the life of the Christian to open their eyes and make them understand the things that they may be doing wrong. And you know, the Bible is real clear about even the reason why He does that. And the Bible says this about that. For verily, for a few days, we talk about our earthly fathers chastened us after their own pleasure. He, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness. That's God's purpose. I thank God that He loves me enough that He'll send me hardships and difficulties to make me wake up if I'm neglecting my duties or what have you along that way. Now, this point, who is it that hears God speak? Well, if I were to tell you this morning that everybody hears God speak, I would be telling you wrong. That's not what the Bible says. Everybody does not hear God speak. Now, everybody, and I'll tell you, this pandemic, you see, it can bring fear, which it has. And thank God for it. That may be the first step in hearing what God says. But I will tell you something about this. The Bible says that there are some who can and some who can't. I was talking with one of our brothers earlier about John chapter 11, the whole chapter dedicated to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The whole chapter. One awesome chapter. And then the last 12 verses of that chapter are dedicated to the response to that. Now you'd think, well, boy, if I'd have been there and seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, I'd have fell on my face before Him and I'd have confessed my sins and trusted Him as my Savior. And the Bible says that many did. But then if you read on in the chapter, you find that some of them begin to plot how to kill Him. How to kill Him. Does everybody hear? No. Everybody does not. And also the story of the rich man and Lazarus and the rich man's request at the end of that chapter where that's found says, raise Lazarus and send him to my father's house. I got five brothers. They need to be warned lest they come to this place of torment. And you know what the response was? They have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. And here's what he said. If they won't hear God's word, that neither would they listen if somebody raised from the dead. There are people can't and there are people who won't. Be honest with you. But then there are people who can and people who do. The Bible says this, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. There are some who can hear but harden their heart, stiffen their neck against what God has to say through His Word. There are. I may very well be preaching to people who are God's children, who are rebels and out of fellowship with Him, simply because you've stiffened your neck and hardened your heart against what God is speaking. That little statement, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," we find it 7 times in 3 chapters in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. Then I want to share this little word in John chapter 10 and in verse 26 and 27. Jesus says this to those that were around Him. Let me read 25 also. Jesus said to them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me." Then He said, "But ye believe not, because you are not My sheep." And He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." How do you know a Christian? How do you know? There's the answer. They follow Him. They follow Him. And so there are some who can hear, and there are some who certainly cannot. Now, the last point, well, what is God saying? If God speaks through this pandemic, what is He saying? Well, I want to tell you something this morning. Friend, I don't know about you that may be tuned in. I don't know about anybody in this world. But I know that God spoke to me during this pandemic. God spoke to me. Now, did He come and speak audibly? Did He send an angel? Did He send a vision? Did I dream a dream? No, no, no. It's right here in the Word. It's right here in the Word. The first thing I want to say to you, and God said this right off. Some of our men were praying this morning before this service, and it was spoken and brought out about the sovereignty of God in this. I want to tell you that I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. I believe that with all my heart. And so here's what God said to me, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper through the Word now, that every phase of your life and well-being is in My hand, and I got this under control. You say, "Preacher, did you really see that?" I really did see that. I want to read you a couple of scriptures. And I want you to listen to these scriptures real, real careful. You don't have to turn to them. I'll tell you where they are. They're in Isaiah chapter 46 is where they are. I want you to listen real carefully to what God said. He says this, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like Me." Listen to this. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times. Things not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all My purpose." That's My God. And He said that to me. It's recorded in the Word. That's how I saw it. He said that to me. In other words, you say, "Preacher, what was He saying?" I've got this. I've got it under control. And My purpose is going to be done in it. Now, you know, it said in that verse of Scripture, "things not yet done." Some might say, "Well, God didn't know anything about this pandemic." Let me tell you something. God knew all about this pandemic before Adam ever drew a breath. He knew all about all the other pandemics that have happened. And He knows all about what will happen in the future. And so I just want to say there's one, the most important thing about this matter is that we're in His hand. John chapter 10. Nothing could take us out of His hand. Let me read this verse. Listen carefully. This is Psalms 103, verse 19. "The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all." He is a sovereign ruler. And then this verse of scripture I quote often in preaching. I love the verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And speaking of Christ, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, listen to this, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That didn't say some things, it says all things. So that's the voice I've heard. That's the voice that God's speaking to me. Now, I'll share with you a second thing. That every trial and bit of trouble is a test of the faith of God's children. Everything is. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read this. You don't have to turn to it. But he says here, speaking of our inheritance that is undefiled and fadeth not away and reserved for us in heaven, he says this, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Anybody in heaviness over this? You are in heaviness through manifold, many-faceted temptations, which that Greek word is trials. And he goes on to say that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So every bit of trouble that the child of God goes through is a test. All of it is. Every bit of it. It's not that God needs to know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to respond. I need to know. And so he teaches me through that. Now, one more thing, and I'm finished, that God spoke to me. He sent me almost immediately to James chapter 4. And I'm going to read these verses. Listen carefully. Beginning in verse 13. It says here, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and such rejoicing is evil. And therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Now you say, preacher, what did God say to you about that passage of Scripture? God said this, everything in your life can change in a heartbeat. And you may not be able to do a thing about it. And you know what? I've preached this several times over the years. Our folks know that I have. That there could be something that come that life as usual will cease. Life as usual will cease. And he said what you ought to say is if the Lord's will. I'll read this one more passage of Scripture. And it's in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The purpose of the Lord. I pray this morning that these words and these scripture passages have encouraged you. And you say, well, preacher, what ought it to do? I can't speak for everybody, but I can tell you how it has done me. It's made me grow. It's made me trust him more. And Brother Greg was texting this morning about more grace. More grace. That's what we need. Amen. We need more grace. And we need to trust him more. Oh, for grace, the song says, to trust him more. May God bless you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to speak these words. And Lord, I just ask, dear God, I know that you're going to use these words any way you see fit. You say that very clearly in Psalms, in Isaiah 55, that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes your purpose. And so, Lord, we put that in your hands. We can't control that, but you sure can. And we pray that you'd bless us. through these verses and these points. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. And tune in at 6 o'clock this evening for the second service. You're going to be blessed. Brother Greg Wynn is going to bring a message. God bless you.